It's an interesting thing in my mind. What I was going to minister to on tonight was going to prepare you to receive. But you know, sometimes things don't go in the order that you think. You just follow the Lord. The Lord knows what He's doing. Isn't that right? Turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16 and 17, and then we'll go to 1 John 4:4, and I want to read some things, and then we'll get some thoughts out of that just for a few moments here today. John 14, 16 and 17 says, I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter, that He may, now say it with me, abide with you forever. Now, verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and, say it with me, will be in you. So we say it this way then, that He is in me because He's already here. Isn't that right? He has come, so He's here. He's in me. Isn't that right? Because I've got the Lord, I've accepted Christ, so He's in me. I'm not alone, never will be as a Christian. I constantly have a companion with me. And if we can get a hold of that, it'll change our life. You say, well, you've talked about that before, and we've heard some recent things. I know Miss Denise did a wonderful job at camp meeting, but not all of you were here for that. But I want to tell you this. If you can get to the point where you're conscious of Him as you go about doing the work that you need to be doing, it'll change your life. I said, it'll change your life. I said, it'll change your life. It'll change the way you conduct yourself. It'll change the way that you talk. It'll change your outlook in life. Amen. The Knox translation says it this way. Then I will ask the Father, and He'll give you another to befriend you. So we know this, that the one who's with us, in us, is our friend. Isn't that right? To befriend you, one, now listen to this, one who is to dwell continually with you forever. He dwells with us continually. He doesn't come and go. He's not here sometimes and sometimes He's not. You know, He doesn't take vacations. He doesn't have personal days. He doesn't have sick days. He is constantly with us, continually dwelling with us forever. It is the truth-giving Spirit for whom the world can find no room because it cannot see Him, cannot recognize Him, but you are to recognize Him. He will be continually at your side like Jesus was to the disciples. Isn't that right? And then He says, nay, He'll be in you. He'll do even better than being with you constantly. He'll be in you. He'll become a part of you. That's that. He's a part inside of you. Isn't that right? The voice version says it this way. I will ask the Father to send you another helper, the Spirit of truth, who will remain constantly with you. And I know I see the hand in the back that's waving and saying, Brother Yoder, Brother Yoder, Brother Yoder, I got a question. I'm talking for a friend. I'm bringing this up for a friend. Not talking about myself. I'm bringing this up for a friend. But what if somebody does something wrong in their life? What happens then? Where does he go? He doesn't go anywhere. Still right there. He may not like what you do, but He stays with you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he goes into action even on that to convict us of the wrongdoing and convicting us. We need to get back on the right track. Isn't that right? He doesn't throw His hands up and leave. He said, I've given you 3 chances. You know, you're out. Or I'm out. One of the two. He doesn't do that. He's still with you. How many of you missed it at least 3 times? How about 4? Uh-oh. You know, you'd never make it in a ball game, would you? No, I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you. But you know what? Listen to me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters in some sense, but in this particular thought that I'm talking about, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times you miss it. He's not going to leave you. Now, does it matter as to the quality of life you have? Yes. Yes, it does. Because you see, listen to me, if you can, but the best thing to do when you come to, when you miss it, is just turn to him and ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that, for his willingness to do that. And that, aren't you glad for that? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not so arrogant to think that I don't need that verse. Glory to God. I need all the help I can get. You know, the Apostle John put himself in that verse when he said, if we confess. He didn't just say, if you. You in the 21st century. He didn't say that. He said, we. If the Apostle John needed it, I need it. I'll let that soak in a little bit. Some of you, your heads are going, Okay. All right. But I want to tell you this. Listen to me. The point I want to make with this verse right, these two verses right here, is that he is always with you. He's with you in good times and bad times. You know, you can't freak him out with a bad accident or some kind, or a catastrophe or a tornado or something like that. You can't freak him out and make him leave. You can't scare him away from you. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. He's just always with us. He's always... Now listen to me. He is always ready to help you. Always ready to help you. Always ready to help you. Amen. See, the problem is wrapping our minds around that thought. He is always ready to help me. Because you see, how many of you, when you're growing up and you messed up and your mom and dad told you, you said, well, now when you get that straightened out, I'll help you with this over here. And sometimes we carry that mentality over into, you know, and our parents are trying to teach us something. Do you know what I'm saying? Responsibility. And in one sense of the word, you know, the Lord will deal with you about responsibility and teach you some things along those lines. But when I'm talking about receiving from him, or him being willing to help you, he's always willing to help you. He's always willing to help you. Now, you may have to take more steps than you think you do. But on the other hand, thank God that he's willing to help us. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? You said, Brother Yoder, don't you have something deeper than that tonight? I got some deeper stuff, but I'll share it when you get this. And start walking in it on Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Saturday. You see, that's the point. The thing is, we got to learn to walk in this. Be conscious of this. We can't just look at this and say, okay, this was a great time. You know, or a great service. No, the same God who's here in the service is the same God who'll be with you on Monday. He'll be just as willing to help you on Monday as he is on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. He's willing to help you any day of the week. I heard somebody say, well, you know, the reason they call the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday weekdays is because those are weekdays. And I thought, there isn't any weekdays in the Lord. I said, there's no weekdays in the Lord. Isn't that right? The problem is grasping and believing how willing he's ready to help us. How willing he's ready to put behind and move on when we've messed up and we come to him and say, forgive us, Lord. And we labor over that and we work that thing in our mind, you know. You know, the Lord has already moved on. He's already moved on. You got to learn to believe that God will do what his word says. Isn't that right? I said, you got to learn to do what his word says. Amen. Believe what his word says. Now turn with me to 1 John 4:4. Now let me just tell you this. If I had, I'm remembering the days back when I was a pool hustler and I went into some places where they weren't all that great. I learned to run with big folks. Why is that? Because if I started something that I couldn't finish, I had somebody bigger that could take care of it for me. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to this verse right here. It says, you are of God, little children, You are of God, little children. You have defeated these enemies because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In other words, you got somebody greater on the inside, somebody who's with you than you are. And what you can't finish, he can. Yes. Isn't that right? I might start something, I didn't think it was going to be this big, this hard, this long, take this long. I didn't know that it's going to cost this much money. But I want to tell you, you don't ever catch the Lord by surprise. Oh, my goodness, he's not going to scratch his head. Oh, that much money? My goodness, we better check our treasury. No, he's not going to do that. He is not surprised by anything. That doesn't mean that I go out and do anything that I want to do. It simply means when I set out to believe him and to put my trust in him, he is able. I said he is able to do what his word said. If I start out believing him, he'll finish by bringing it to me. Isn't that right? So we see here then, in the contemporary English version, it says, children, you belong to God, and you have defeated these enemies. Now listen to this. God's Spirit is in you and is more powerful than the one that is in the world. More powerful. More powerful. Say it with me. More powerful. Amen. So we have to understand then that the person on the inside has greater power than what we do. Isn't that right? I might not be able to push through, but the one on the inside can push through. Amen? And then in the Knox translation again, it says this, you little children. Now listen to this. This is one of the big keys. He says, you little children who take your origin from God. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you. Now tap yourself on the chest and say, I know he's talking about me. You little children who take your origin from God. I like that. I originated from God. I'm a human being, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something that came out of heaven into my life. Transformed me. Glory to God. Made me a new creation. Glory to God. And it says this. You little children who take your origin from God have gained the mastery over it. There is a stronger power at work in you than in the world. Today we have, you have countries, nations threatening, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And other countries, oh, no, you're not, and all of that, and they're trying to gain the mastery over one another. The devil come knocking on your door and says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to make you do this and I'm going to make you do that. But we would do well to remember this, that it says here, we have gained. That means it's past tense. That means we've got it. Tell your neighbor, we got it. It says, we have gained the mastery over it. Isn't that right? There is a stronger power. Sometimes I tell the devil, I said, if you can tackle Jesus and win, just go ahead. But I do remind you that the last time you tried that, it didn't end so well. Isn't that right? Amen. Glory to God. The Living Bible says, dear young friends, you belong to God and have already won your fight with those who are against Christ. Because there is someone in your hearts who is stronger than any evil teacher in the world, in this wicked world. Specifically, John was dealing with people that were being motivated by Antichrist spirit, the Gnostics. Specifically in all of this. And so he said, look, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be upset. He said, we have already gained the victory over that. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a day when the winds of doctrines are blowing. I'm telling you, it's like a big giant fan turned on high. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. We do well not to be alarmed. I said, we do well not to be alarmed. Why? We have gained, this verse tells us we have gained the mastery over it. Because why? We got the truth. We got the Spirit of the living God on the inside. We've got the Word of God on the inside. We've got the name of Jesus, a name that's above every name. You realize that every time that somebody goes off and starts promoting something false, they have settled for a lesser name to serve. They no longer serve the Most High. They no longer are submitted to the name that's above every name. They have settled somewhere down below. Come on now. Don't get quiet on me now just because I made it clear to you. I'm having fun up here tonight. I don't know about you. You'd have more fun too if you just, just let go and let God move in your life. Amen. That's how you have fun. Amen. Just let God move in your life. Yes. Just let God have His way. Amen. Amen. You say, my brother Yoder, I've got my plan. Can you do something with me? Just take your plan. Just throw it out the window. It doesn't mean you... I don't mean you don't make plans. You understand what I mean by that? But be willing to submit to what God has. Submit your plan to God's plan. If you need to make changes to your plan, then do it. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll get greater results. In other words, when you submit to God, you're going to allow the greater one on the inside to flow through you. Now listen to this. S.D. Gordon, in his book, Quiet Talks on Prayer, back in 1941, he said this. There is one inlet of power in life, anybody's life, any kind of power, just one inlet, the Holy Spirit. He is power. He is in everyone who opens his door to God. He eagerly enters every open door. He comes in by invitation and consent. In other words, you have to invite him. You have to consent for him to be there. And then it says his presence within is the vital thing. It's whether you know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is the big question. You see, because he is already here. Say it with me. He's already here. And so, you see, in many people, the Holy Spirit is the ignored guest. They don't consult him when they have a problem. When they have a question, they don't ask him. They Google it. They Yahoo it. They ask other people. They ask people who are not near as smart as the Holy Spirit. Don't look at me like that now. But it's the truth. Amen. That's all right to ask all those things. Ask all right to Google. It's all right to, you know, Yahoo or do whatever you want. But I want to tell you something. Ask the Holy Spirit too. Ask him. Be quick to ask him. I said, be quick to ask him. I said, be quick to ask him. Many people do not invite him to help in the daily things of life, and therefore they're not conscious of him being present in their life. But I want to tell you, that's the shame of modern Christianity. Is that we try to do our Christianity in our own strength instead of in His power. God never intended for me to walk out my Christianity in my own strength. Never intended. He didn't design it that way. You will fail if you try that. You will fail. You will fail. Let me tell you this. One of the greatest revelations I ever got was, without Him, I can do nothing. John 15:5. Greatest revelation I ever got. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, but Lord, you know, I could do that. No, nothing. Nothing that's worthwhile in the kingdom of God. Nothing. Not one thing. Not one thing. Zero. Anything you attempt in your own strength, let me tell you something, is something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the kingdom of God. I don't know how much clearer I can make it. I'm just telling you, you see, why am I speaking so clearly? It's because I had to get that, I had to get it straight to me in order for me to acknowledge that I'm helpless without him. But since I have the helper, I have the help I need. You ought to be a little more excited about that. Since I have the helper, I have the help I need. I said, since I have the helper, I have the help I need. Hallelujah. You see, you have the power of God on the inside if you have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you got the power of God on the inside. See, the power of God's actually closer than you think, than what we many times believe. I like to think of it this way, that the power of God has come all the way from heaven right into my heart. It's right here. It's right here. I'm 18 inches away, 20 inches away from understanding the power that I have. I could say it this way, that your answer is 18 inches away. Because if you knew what the Holy Spirit knew, you'd have your answer. It's just 18 inches away. It's not far away. It's just 18, 20 inches away. So let's say 20 inches, because you got to take into account these tall guys right here. Isn't that right? Say it 20 inches. Say it with me, 20 inches. 20 inches. I'm within 20 inches of my answer. you know what I'm saying? It is not far away. What you need is just, it's in your spirit already. It's right there because the Holy Spirit's in you. You have the power. The power to do what you need is already there. Listen to this. I want to show you something. I want everybody to see this. This is the light, in case you don't know. This is the light. When you came in here, most of you didn't stop and look around and say, man, they got lights in here. Glory to God. They must have electricity. Now, the way I grew up, that's a big deal. All right? Because I grew up without it. Amen. So anyway, we don't normally think about it. We don't think about the electricity in the building any more than we think about the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside. We just take it for granted. Ah, he's there, he's there, he's there. Yeah, I know he's there. Yeah, I know I got the Holy Spirit when I got born again. Do you understand, though? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. Now, listen to this. If you don't get anything else, get this. There is no such thing as having the Holy Spirit and not having the power of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, the power of God's there, too. He did not come empty-handed. He did not come show up with nothing. He came with what he had. He came with all power. He came with all wisdom. He came with all knowledge. He came with all ability. He came with all strength. You understand what I'm saying? So there's no such thing. Listen to me. You see, people, yeah, but I just don't feel strong. We're not talking about you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you. See, it really doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's what you know about the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. Yes. Amen? Come on now. See, we do not have a power problem. We do not have a power problem. We look to the Lord and we say, oh Lord, send the power just now. Well, let me tell you something. He's already sent it. Came with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. Now, you could, this room would be dark, except if you see right here, there's a switch right here. Now, I want to point something out to you. There's no light on. See right there, there's no light. But so you say, well, is there no power? No, the power is present. Now, listen to this. The power comes from this, we've plugged it in. It comes all the way across this cord right here. It comes right up through here. and it's right there. It's right there. The power. I mean, if you stuck your finger inside right there, you'd find out that the power's right there. Amen. Isn't that right? That is my skill level when it comes to electronics, is to test it with my finger. Sooner or later. But you understand, now listen to me. Why do we not have the light on if the power's right there? There's no, you see, the problem is this. There's a switch right here. If we turn it on, if we turn this switch on, then we realize the benefits of the power that's already there. We do not have a power problem. We have a problem with being willing to turn the switch on. You could look at it, I just don't understand why that light doesn't come on. Come on. You know what I'm saying? If we acted like towards this light, like we do toward God with our problems, we'd say, I don't understand. I don't understand. Lord, send the power. The power must not be here. So we travel 200 miles to get to where the power is. The issue is this, that you, when you travel 200 miles to get to somebody where you think the power is, what you have there is somebody who believes the power is present, and you're going there believing the power is there too, when you could have had it where you were. But you see, when you got somebody that's ministering and they say, well, we're going to minister with the power of God, that kind of person believes that the power is here. They have no power problem. And they have no power. They have no problem throwing the switch to have the light on. Now let me ask you this. Let's try this again. See, we have the light. We have the power clear up to here. So what do we need to do? What is this switch when it comes to the things of God? It's called, Brother Hagin referred to it as the switch of faith. Faith turns on the power of God, releases the power of God into your life. Isn't that right? Into your circumstances, into your situation. Now listen to me. What if I turned it on and then acted like, if I did it through the switch and then acted like some people do, that when they say, well, I believe, and then they turn the switch on and look, and the light's not on, and they look, I don't feel healed. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is this. You know, what do you expect? Listen to this. What do you expect when I turn the switch? What do you expect? Light, right? Isn't that right? When do you expect the light? When? 24 hours from now? Someday when the Lord gets ready? No. See, none of that comes into it. It has to be that. Listen to this. When you throw the switch, what happens with the light? It comes on, doesn't it? There's no delay. It just happens right there. As soon as I turn the switch. And see, when we come to the Word of God, here's the issue. The issue is this. We do not have a power problem, but we do have a problem being willing to believe that that the power of God will actually manifest for us. We do have a problem with that many times. And then instead of working on the switch, if the light doesn't come on, if the healing doesn't come, if all of that other stuff, the thing that we need doesn't come, we don't go to work on the switch like we should. We don't go to work on our faith. We say, Lord, send the power. And really the problem is not the power. The problem is that we've got to make sure that we have a good switch. Amen. We've got to make sure that we got our faith working. And sometimes we have things hindering our faith. Don't get quiet on me right now. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I think he's talking about me. Amen. Yeah, I know you thought you were going to talk about somebody else, but we'll just talk about you. We're already out of time. Stand up with me, please. I've got, just so you know, I haven't even got through my introduction. But it's all right. Lift your hands to the Lord. Lord, we have the power because we have the Holy Spirit. It's really simple. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. We thank you for that we have the power. Hallelujah. Just tell the Lord, thank you for the power. You know, if we have the power, then we ought to be thankful. Thank you, Lord. Just go ahead and thank him for a while. Just go ahead and show God your gratitude for having the power. It's coming to you. It's already there. It's all right. You have the power. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you didn't show up empty-handed, but that you came with all your power. That you came, you chose me to dwell in, and that I am a recipient of your power, and that I'm a vessel of your power. I'm an instrument in your hands where the power can flow through. I am a person with the Holy Spirit in me. I have the power of God in me. I want to thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Father. Father, I promise you, I'm not going to come to you and say there's a problem with the power. I'm going to come to you and ask for your help in the area of developing my faith. That's what I'm going to do. If I miss it, if I have a problem, I know it is not with you, Lord, but it is with me learning how to throw the switch of faith and be able to tap into the power that's already here. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, so simple. And yet, something that will change your life. You see, it is not the deep and profound things that we often need, but it is the simple truth of God's Word that will make a way for us, open doors, get us the answers, bring solutions, and help us in the time of need. So do not think or despise the simple truths of the Word of God and think that you have a special case. For there is no situation that the Word cannot solve, that the Spirit of God within cannot take care of. If you'll only believe, if you'll only believe, if you'll only believe, set your faith to believe that which is written in the Word, and you'll find that the Spirit of God has moved into action with His power, and He is already taking care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands up and just worship Him. You see, this is one of the things what you do, you learn to worship Him. Hallelujah. I talked to you about this some time ago. You cannot go wrong by worshiping God. Amen. When you don't know what else to do, just worship God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Be a worshiper of God and thankful to Him for what He's already given you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you can be seated just for a moment. If you are here for the very first time at Rhema Bible Church, we want to say welcome. Maybe this is a little different than what you have seen before, but I want you to know that at Rhema Bible Church, we're endeavoring to help people to have a better life. Amen. Praise God. If you're here tonight, this will be our very first time at Rhema Bible Church. We have some people standing in the aisles with some information. We want to give it to you. And if you have that, if you would just simply slip up your hand and let them know that you're here for the first time, they'll give you that information. And then there's a gift that will be given to you right at the end of the service. They'll take you to get a gift. That's our way of saying thank you. Praise God. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand. Luke, way in the back. Luke. Luke. Yep. Praise God. Luke, you got it. Oh, there you got it. You got it? There you go. All right. Praise God. Got somebody right here on the front row. Praise God. Thank God for bold people. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. Just fill that out, that card. We want to welcome you to Rhema Bible Church. If you don't have a home church, we just say make this your home church. And if you're traveling through, just make it your home church away from home. And we welcome you every time that you're in the area. Praise the Lord. And at the end of the service, those same people that brought you those cards are going to give you a gift as our way of saying thank you. And so we have something good for you, praise God, at Rhema Bible Church. Praise the Lord. We have the prayer team ready to come down now and be on the men on this side and the ladies on this side. And if you have prayer needs of any kind that you need prayer for, then you come, men over here on this side and ladies on this side, and they'll minister to you the word of God, because you see the power's already here. I said the power's already here. You said, Brother Yoder, but will the power move through them just like it did the preacher, like you? I said, sure it will, if they'll believe. If you'll believe, if you put a demand on it, amen. Praise God. And so we know that God is wanting to help you, and so we thank God for that. Wednesday evening, I believe, praise God, we have Hour of Power, I think. Brother Ted, I think, is ministering on Wednesday evening. Pastor and Ms. Hagen are going to be back for next Sunday, and that's the plan. Praise God, back to school Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord.